السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم We are discussing pinning one's hopes only in Allah, right? And just to add to this subheading, have expectance of reward only from Allah. Many times, just this morning also, I'm busy with one email where the wife complains, but Maulana, I'm married for so many years, I've done this and I've done that and I've done that, but I don't get no appreciation and no this and no that. Look, your reward is with Allah. You don't need people to show you appreciation in this world. If they show you appreciation, that's their good, not your good. So why are we waiting for people to show us appreciation? Right? We don't have to wait for appreciation. If they show appreciation, that's their good deed. They will be rewarded for that. And if they don't show appreciation, then that doesn't mean that our deed wasn't accepted. We're still going to get the sawab for our deed. In fact, if they don't show appreciation, we'll get more sawab. Why? Because we were not rewarded in any way for that deed in this world. But if every time you do something for your husband or your children and they come and they say, oh, mommy, you're such a great mommy, there's a present for you. Your husband comes to you, oh, you're such a good wife. There's a present for you. There's this for you. There's that for you. Then you're getting your reward. You're getting portion of your reward in this world. Although, I mean, if you did it for Allah, you're still going to be rewarded in the Akhirat. But you're getting something in this world also. We mustn't pin our hopes that person is going to do this for me. That one will look after me. This one will look after me. Right? I'll give you an example, right? I'll give you an example that happened to me now on Saturday and last night. Right? I was traveling to Durban. Right? Come to the toll road. The toll road has been closed. There are people that are striking, right? They're doing some strike demonstration, so they close the toll road up. Now we need to go through, right? Now there's so many people there, motorists. A couple of buses also full of people. Now generally when we got numbers, when we got people, we think we can do something. If we are alone, we think, no, we can't do anything. We got people, so we got back support, we can do something. But nobody can do anything against these strikers. Right? Then there's police officers there. So you think, okay, you know what, police officer, I mean, he got a gun, he got a badge, he can do something, let me go to him. Right? So we went to the police officer, we said, you know what, we need to go through here now. Please, I mean, sort something out, move the strikers. What the police officer tells me, he says, sir, you know, we're very sorry, we only few of us, there's so many of them, we can't do anything against them. Right? So, you see this, we think with the means or with people or something, we will be safe, we will be secure. Right? But nobody could help you there. Nobody could help you. Only Allah can help you. Only Allah can make a way out for you. Right? Now, last night, we came home from somewhere, a bit late after Isha, had some parcels in the hand, whatever. So somebody may have had a parcel in the hand or whatever. Now, you know, when you got a couple people sitting in the back seat, then this one will think that one will close the door, that one will think this one will close the door, and the door got left open. You know, you get off the car, you think the person next to you is also going to come out from the same side. So you don't close the door. I mean, it's wrong of you to close the door. You think that person is going to come out from the same side. That person ends up coming out from the opposite side. So your door stays open now. Right? Now,
I went away inside the house, locked the car, but the one door is open. And went away inside the house. Everybody went away, locked the house, went to sleep. Right? This morning, I went for Fajr Namaz. Now Fajr Namaz, when you're leaving the house, it's still dark, you can't see anything. And that car is parked on the other side, I can't see that door. After Fajr came, drove up the driveway, waiting for the gate to open, I'm saying, hey, the car door is open. Not just the button is up, the door is open. The door is wide open. So whole night, the car door stayed open, but Allah Pak protected it. Even we didn't know the car is open. Right? No security guard there, no nothing. The car door, not just the window or the button, the door itself is wide open. You can see it from a mile that the car door is open. But Allah Pak protected the car. So only Allah does. Only Allah does. We must pin our hopes on Allah and expect our reward only from Allah. Sometimes daughters also in the kitchen. Now that pichari, she cut the onion, she cut the tomato, she did this. But you see, you'll never be able to do it like your mother. You know? Even if you do it 10 times better than your mother will still find a fault in it. When your mother comes in the kitchen, the only thing she'll notice is the one mistake you made. You cut the onions, your eyes were burning, you cut the tomatoes, you mixed the wagar, you did everything. Right? But she also told you, must take out some milk from the freezer. That you forgot to do. You did everything else. You cooked the curry, you made the roti, you made everything. Right? But you forgot to take out the milk from the freezer. Now when your mother comes in the kitchen, she wanted that milk out because she wanted to do something with the milk. When she comes in the kitchen, you took out the milk. Oh, mummy, I forgot. You know, I can't tell you to do one thing. One thing I can't rely on you. That's why I must just do everything myself. What's your age now? You know, when I was your age, I could do this, and y'all can't even do this and that. Right? That's what you'll hear. It's the same for a boy. The boy is the same. He'll work with his father in the shop. Father will tell him, right, you know, make the list there, do that, do this. Now in between, one phone call came, one rep came, or somebody wanted that, somebody wanted this. Now he did 9 out of 10, the one thing he forgot to do. That's the thing the father will ask. You did that. Now he'll say, no. Why? No, it was a bit busy. And, you know, that's why I can't rely on you. Can't rely on you. When I'm here, I do everything. And this and that and take off and all that. Right? Now we start feeling sad and bad and we get mad. Right? Under our breath now and in our mind, we start thinking, you know, they're ungrateful. So many things I did that they can't acknowledge that. The one thing I never do that they make me a noise about. And especially if the mother says, you can't do one thing. Right? Now you start counting in your mind, hey, I did that, I did this, I did that. All those things are not even equal to one. I learnt in school 1 + 1 = 2. I did 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + I did about 15 things here, and she's saying I can't even do one thing. So did the school syllabus change or what? Arithmetic rules are different. Right? So we get upset. Why we get upset? Because we forget that we must only hope for our reward from Allah, not from anybody else. Don't wait for accolades from people. Don't wait for people to tell us that you're very good, you did this very well, I really appreciate this, I really appreciate that. No. If it comes, alhamdulillah. If it comes, alhamdulillah. If it doesn't come also, alhamdulillah. Our halat must become such that whether we are praised or we are condemned, it's the same. It's the same. Right? But obviously if somebody is insulting us, condemning us for something, we must check whether it is a weakness in us. If it is a weakness in us, then we must rectify it. But we mustn't wait for thanks.
Wait for the husband to thank. Wait for the mother-in-law to thank. The father-in-law must show his appreciation. Don't wait for these things. You'll only hurt yourself in the process. You will only hurt yourself. Keep reminding yourself that you are doing everything only for Allah. And Allah is the one who will reward you. Allah is the one who will reward you. Okay? Right. Let's come to this incident. A poor man once came to the Khalifa Harun al-Rashid to ask for something. However, he found the Khalifa engaged in Salah. After completing his Salah, the Khalifa made dua to Allah Ta'ala before turning to the poor man. Right? He read namaz, he made dua. Now when he finished his dua, everything, now he turned to this man to ask him, like, you know, what's the problem? When he asked the poor man what he wanted, the poor man said, my need has been seen to. What the poor man said? Poor man said, my need has been seen to. I have received what I came here for. When the Khalifa asked him to explain what he meant, the man said, I came to ask you for some money for my daughter's wedding. My daughter is getting married. I want to buy some outfit, some feed the people a little bit, whatever he had in mind. So I came to ask you for a loan or maybe some hadiah. You can give me some money. I can take care of my daughter's wedding. However, I have seen you extend your hands to ask for someone else. Right? You have extended your hands to ask from someone else. I then decided that I should rather ask my needs from the one whom you ask. You are a beggar just like me. And you also have to stretch your hands to someone else. What can one beggar give another? I shall therefore ask directly from the independent one whom you ask from and who gives you. Why must we become the slave of a slave? Why must we drop our value that we become the slave of a slave? Rather be the slave of Allah. So he's saying that I came to ask you something, but I'm seeing that you are making dua to Allah. So why must I then ask you? I also rather ask directly from Allah. Now this is not for us to tell the beggar. If a beggar comes to the door, that's not for us to tell the beggar that, hey, you coming to ask me, I'm a beggar also, so why are you asking me? Ask from Allah. No, that time we must give. Somebody comes to ask us for something, we must give. But when the thought comes to our mind that we must ask from somebody, then we must remind ourselves that, no, why must I ask of people? I rather ask of Allah. Right? When a wife constantly asks from her husband, she falls from his esteem. A wife should abstain from asking her husband for things and should tell him that his du'as are sufficient for her. She should tell him that his smile alone is priceless for her because it makes Allah Ta'ala pleased with her. And when Allah is pleased with her, her du'as will be answered quickly. When she refrains from asking from her husband and from expecting things from him, Allah Ta'ala will inspire him to ask her what she needs. You see, if you don't ask from your husband, right? You ask from Allah. Now Allah will put it in your husband's heart that, hey, you know what? I'm not even giving her enough nafaqah. Let me give her a little bit more. Right? Now, when he will give you more, you will be able to afford the things you want yourself. Right? Or for example, you needed a shoe. Right? Now you're not asking your husband. You're making dua to Allah. Ya Allah, bless me with a shoe. Ya Allah, I need a new shoe. Ya Allah, you give me a shoe. Right? Now your husband will go shopping and he'll think to himself, hey, you know what? I'm buying a shoe for myself. What about my wife? Oh, let me give her a gift voucher. Let me give her a gift voucher. Or he'll come to you and tell you, hey, you know what? How's your shoes, man? I was thinking of buying a shoe. How's your shoes? Now, Allah Pak will put it in his heart.
Hey, come, let me take you. Let me also go buy you. Come, let me buy a shoe for you also. Right? So Allah will put it in their heart. Whether it's in the husband's heart, whether it's in your mother's heart, whether in your father's heart, or whichever way Allah Pak wants it to come to you, it will come. But ask from Allah. Don't ask from people. Right? When he sincerely asks her what she wants, she should not disappoint him by denying that she wants something. She may then inform him of her needs. Now this is another point. You know, this can really drive a man insane. Right? You know, a man, now he wants to buy something for his wife. Right? Or he feels, you know what, my wife, man, hey, she's working so hard, this, that. Never mind. Let me just buy some food for her today. She doesn't have to cook. Right? Or whatever the situation may be. Right? Now she didn't insist, she didn't ask nothing. Right? He now comes to her and says, hey, you know what? You know, we married so many years. I never really bought you an Eid outfit. Right? I never had the money. Now, I've got the money. Come, I want to spoil you. Come, let me go buy you an Eid outfit. Come, let me go buy you some material for Eid or something. Right? Now, at that time, you mustn't disappoint him. Because at that time, he wants to do this for you. If he never have the money, he wouldn't come and tell you, let me go buy you the outfit. Right? So at that time, he wants to. Now, if at that time you tell him, oh, no, you know, there's a lot of other expenses, and no, never mind, it's okay, I don't really need it, I'll just wear my old one, you know, I don't like new things, that will drive him mad. Because in his mind, when he came to ask you this, he is thinking you are going to be over the moon. You're going to be so chuffed by this, you know, gesture of his. You're going to be so happy. You're going to light up and you're going to hug him and you're going to say, hey, Jazakallah, come, let's go. Right. Now, obviously, you know your husband's budget. So when you go to buy the material, now don't go buy one material 500 rand a meter. Right. You know, husband, he's got other expenses and all that. Never mind, let me choose one material for about 100 rand a meter, 80 rand a meter. Right? So you chose that. Now he said, no, you sure you want, oh, I like this one. He shows you I want more expensive one. No, I really like this one. You like this one. Right? Then you buy the cheaper one. But the time when he comes to you and he tells you, no, I want to buy you that material. Then that time don't say, no, it's okay, don't worry, this, that. That's not the time for that. You mustn't ask. But the time he comes and he offers and he wants to do something for you, then show your happiness. Show your happiness to him. A wife should also bear in mind that if her husband brings her something she dislikes, she should not ask him why he brought it or that he should have not wasted his money on something she does not need. Whatever the gift, she should take it happily and say, Jazakumullahu khayran. May Allah Ta'ala reward you with the best. Right? She should thank him profusely and praise the choice of gift. Even if she doesn't like it, she must wear it. She must wear it. Because he bought it for her. If it does occur that a wife desperately needs something which the husband is not providing, right? She may suggest to him saying, I feel that this is needed in our house. What do you think? Say for example, now you got one frying pan. Now you see, the husband doesn't fry the eggs. Right? Now the frying pan handle broke. It's an old frying pan. Right? The handle broke. Now he doesn't know about it because he doesn't fry the eggs. As long as you managing, you carrying on, it won't occur to him that he must go buy another frying pan. All he wants is he must have his eggs for breakfast when he wants an egg. Right? So now you don't want to nag him also. Right? You informed him one time, hey, you know what, man, that frying pan handle broke. Now you take it that he must take the cue now and go buy another frying pan. Right? But now, next week Sunday, the eggs are still there on the table.
So it doesn't bother him now. The frying pan handle broke, but you're still managing to fry the eggs. So he's quite fine. Right? So when you're sitting and you're talking to him, or when you go shopping and now, you know, he's got some extra money, whatever, so he says, hey, is there anything else that we need? So then you can mention it to him that, you know what, a frying pan is needed at home. What you think, should we buy it now or must we may wait a little bit? See, like that. So now if he got the money, he'll say, no, let's get it. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, when you need to ask for something, ask from Allah. And when you ask for help, ask only from Allah. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi has written the following, which are worth their weight in gold. What he wrote? So the author is saying, every Muslim should read this message often, right? And let this message penetrate the innermost recesses of the heart. He says that it appears as if Allah Ta'ala is addressing man, saying, your heart is mine, so do not enter the love of another into it. Your tongue is mine, so do not make the zikr of anyone but me. Your body is mine, so do not use it to serve anyone but me. When you require something, do not ask it from anyone but me. So you must only ask of Allah. If one does not immediately get what one wants, one should not be disappointed and should neither ask nor desire that someone should give it to one. Allah Ta'ala provides for everyone and will certainly provide for someone who begs from Him. Even if one's need is something small, one should ask it only from Allah. Allah gives and never gets tired of giving. Allah Pak gives and He never ever gets tired of giving, and Allah Pak's treasures can never be exhausted. Allah Pak's treasures can never be exhausted. Okay, so we will stop here and inshallah we will try and read a few more pages tomorrow inshallah. Allah Pak give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.